the thing, the Maror Makomos Kiddush Beis HaKnesses. So last thing I wanted to do, last two things I wanted to do with Kiddush Beis HaKnesses. Let me turn the other recorder, it looks like this battery's dying. The last couple of things I wanted to do with Kiddush Beis HaKnesses is we mentioned last time about giving it to a katan, about feeding the wine to a child, because the person saying Kiddush is not being yotzei Kiddush Makom Suda. So if the person saying Kiddush is not being yotzei Kiddush Makom Suda, so Luchara is saying Kiddush before he's being yotzei Kiddush Makom Suda, he's not allowed to drink anything, he's not allowed to eat before Kiddush. So it's going to be a problem. So that's what the poskim all said. So you should give it to a katan. But then we had a machlokas in the poskim. It made its way down in Mishnah Berurah, quotes both days. A machlokas whether it's better to give it to a katan that's higiel chinuch, or better to give it to a katan that's lo higiel chinuch. What would be the svara that it's better to give it to a katan that's higiel chinuch? So the svara is because if he's higiel chinuch, so then the bracha is not a bracha levatali. The bracha, he could be shaykh to the bracha. So it makes sense that he could drink it after and be yotzei with the bracha that you said. But if you give it to a katan that's lo higiel chinuch, then you're risking the problem of bracha levatala, right? You're risking the issue of bracha levatala that you're giving to him. Now, what's the advantage of giving to a katan that's lo higiel chinuch, that's before the age of chinuch? So Pashto says the advantage of giving it to such a young child is that katan that's higiel chinuch, also, you have to be mechanechim in Kiddush Makom Suda. So you're going to give him a little bit to drink. Where's his Kiddush Makom Suda? You're telling him that it's okay to eat before Kiddush. How can you allow him to eat before Kiddush? It's a violation to eat before Kiddush. You can't give him an iser. So better to do a katan shaloi gyal chinuch, where there's not going to be a problem of being mechanechim and eating before Kiddush. Now, the issue that we raised is that in addition to the concept of chinuch, whenever we talk about giving non-kosher food to children, we have to talk about three separate halachos. There's a halacha of chinuch, there's a halacha the Gemara Yivamos talks about of los achilim, which is not about the mitzvah of chinuch, it's a separate iser that you're not allowed to feed non-kosher or give an iser, provide an iser, spoon feed an iser to a katan, and that might apply, the Gemara even applies it to bringing a kohen katan into a beis hakvaros and things like that, to give a katan an iser is a problem. The Shulchan Aruch talks, the Mishnah Berurah talks about this when it comes to giving toys to children that are letting children do malachos and things like that on Shabbos, where you're not allowed to give an iser to a child, providing them with the iser. If they do it on their own, so then it's not your violation of los achilim. But that seems to be even for children who are below the age of chinuch, even for very, very young children, that is, will be in place. And then the third issue is an issue of timtum alev. When a person has something that's not kosher, we assume it has a negative spiritual effect on their overall spiritual well-being. So we're not going to discuss timtum alev, because l'chora that only applies to something that's really not kosher. Over here, we're not dealing with a cheftz of macholos asuros, we're dealing with wine. It just happens to be grape juice, and it just happens to be that you're having it before Kiddush. So Pashas is not going to be a Timtum Alev on something like that. There is a fascinating discussion in Poskim, if we ever do discuss Timtum Alev, what if a person has something, Ba'ones Gamur? It's like completely an onus. They buy chicken at the store that has the best hashkacha in the world, and everyone knows that that's the kosher store, and the proprietor of the store is a frum guy, and he writes svarim, and he's a wonderful Talmud Chacham. And then it turns out that he's been selling trefa chickens for the last number of years. That happens every once in a while. You hear a story like this. And, you know, there was a story, whatever, in a number of different cities. You had stories like this, where things like this have happened. So Rabbi Yaakov Luban from the OU wrote a beautiful article in the Masorah Journal about whether there's a concern of Timtum Alev for people who bought those chickens. Is there an issue of Timtum Alev? So that's a fascinating discussion. When something's complete onus, how far do we go with onus rachmana patre? Do you say that it even patters you from the natural repercussion of Timtum Alev, or is Timtum Alev like a physical reality? There's a tshuva in the Chassam Sofer where someone asked the Chassam Sofer about a child that needed to be institutionalized. The parents were unable to care for the child properly, and the problem was that the institution didn't have any kosher food. There was no way of providing kosher food for the child. The child was not a bardas at all. So he says, there's no chinuch. The child's never going to be a bardas. They're never going to get to that point. So it's not an issue of chinuch. It's not an issue he goes to say los achilim, because you're not doing it. The institution is doing it. They're the ones that are providing the meals. But he says Timtum Alev, you can't do it. You've got to leave him out of the institution because it's going to be a problem of Timtum Alev. So that's a pretty strong statement about how far Timtum Alev is going to go. Okay, but that's a different issue. So we're not going to discuss that issue because that does not apply to our case. We're talking about feeding a katan an Isser. So if you look at the way the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, we saw the discussion in the Beis Yosef, but if you look at the way the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, he quotes it very succinctly in Reish Samach Tes, if katan Aleph, Mishnah Berurah says, Hine Yeshar Mishay Zar Litain Rak Likatan Shaloi Gielachinuch. In source number 5, he says, some say that you should be careful to give it only to a katan that's not Gielachinuch. Avla Magin Avram Kasab Shema Poskim, to Mutu Litain Afil Likatan Shehi Gielachinuch. That you're allowed to give the Kiddush wine even to a katan, that's he Gielachinuch. A 6 or 7 year old. The Adraba, im yitain rak lekatan shelowi gielachinuch, yeh brichsam avarich levatala. If you only give it to a child who's lowi gielachinuch, then it's going to be a brach levatala. The lowi gielachanchu bebracha, because there's no chinuch in the bracha. Yeah.
Because if it's a katan shelowi gielachinuch, then how the even yotz the kiddush in general?
He's not saying the kid. The adult is saying the kiddush.
Yeah, but him drinking, how would that help?
Because maybe I'm very sorry, Shiitam just means a human being has to taste it.
Even so, the person is not a
Bada. Even though he's not, yeah. That's what it seems that Shiita would be assuming. So Mishmur says, but wait a second. Loi Gil Chinuch, it's still us to be Machl the Adayim. So he says, even based on what it says in Simshin Mem Gimel, that we pass like those Rishonim, that you're not even allowed to give an Isser Durabanan to a child, that there's an Isser of Los Achileim, Hacha Shari Mipnei Kama Ta'amim. Over here, there are a bunch of reasons why it's going to be mutter. Ayin Magen Avram, Wedin de Mutter Lahachil Lekhtanim Beshabbos Beshachros Lefnei Kiddush. And the same is true in Shabbos morning. He says, by the way, you're allowed to feed children breakfast on Shabbos morning, and it's also lanoso. You're not allowed to afflict the child by not giving him food before davening on Shabbos morning. What?
For a different reason.
Why?
For davening is because kavod Hashem as opposed to kiddushes.
Oh, okay. And also, it's an inui for the child to have to wait till lunchtime. He's going to have to wait till the afternoon to eat. But over here, he's been eating all day. He's been eating all day on Erev Shabbos. And he just made Kiddush and Shul. That little bit of grape juice doesn't really help him much. It's not an inui for the child. So he says, no, but there are other reasons. There are other reasons why you're allowed to do it. What are those other reasons that you're allowed to do it? Huh? That you're allowed to. He's saying there are reasons that you're allowed to. That you're allowed to give it to the katan, even if you're not allowed to give a katan in Nisr Darabanan. You're allowed to do this. Why? What's the? Why is this better than giving a regular Nisr Darabanan to a child? So what do you think when we talk about normally feeding a child in Nisr Darabanan? What do you think that means, feeding a child in Nisr Darabanan? What kinds of things are you not allowed to feed a child?
Milk and meat.
Milk and meat is Nisr Daraisa.
Cold.
Cold meat. Okay. Cold milk and meat. Right, that's an Issa Drabanan. Milk and chicken cooked together. An Issa Drabanan. Is there a difference between that and Kiddush wine before Suda? Not Shalom Makam Suda? There's a fundamental difference. What's the difference?
Between
the case of feeding a child chicken and milk versus feeding a child wine of Kiddush, Shalom Makam Suda. Oh, so one relates to mitzvah saseh, one relates to mitzvah saseh. So that's what we saw in the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef makes that chiluk, that kiddush is mitzvah saseh, kiddush makom suda, by giving them to drink before. It's not a violation of a lo saseh. Chicken and milk is a lo saseh midrabanan. Then there's another difference also.
At least with daraisa.
Okay, one might lead to daraisa, one doesn't. Right? Good.
What might lead to daraisa?
I mean, chicken and milk is because you're going to confuse it and you're going to have regular meat and milk, or if you give cold meat and milk, you can confuse it and you're going to have cooked meat and milk. So that it's at least it's related to a daraisa, but not having kiddush shalom makom suda is not even related to a daraisa. It's not even an offshoot of a daraisa. It's just stam a standalone takana midrabana.
Does daraisa take cooked lasagna, cheese, and put it with cooked steak together?
No, to cook them together.
Cook them together, but not to eat them together.
Not to eat them together.
That's
only drabana, right?
Even if they're hot.
Right. Well, it depends how hot. If they're hot enough that it's considered that you're cooking them together, then it's a problem.
You took steak off the grill, right?
So there's a chumrah of the taz. from the Marashal, I think it is, they say that it always has a din of a solid food still maintains a din of a kli rishon, even when it's transferred onto another plate, as long as it's still hot, as long as it's still very, very hot. So it would still have a din of a kli rishon, and therefore would still have the ability to cook. That's a chumrah that we're knowing l'charchila to observe. But b'di'avad, when we asked Rav Asher Weiss, Rabbi Cohen had a shaila last year. He had an old set of dishes from a grandparent or something, and they didn't even remember if it was milchigs or fleishigs or if it was kosher or not kosher. They had no idea what the story was, and it was a very expensive set of china, and they wanted to know if in China you can't kasher, most poskim assume. So they wanted to know, could you rely? There are some poskim according to Shulchan Aruch that hold you could do agala gimel panim on china. You could dip, put it in boiling water 3 times, and that would work. Other poskim hold, the Chacham Tzvi holds, that after 12 months, after a year is up since the last time it was used, it doesn't even need to be kasher, that all blios are gone on their own. Now, both of those are a das yach, that we don't normally paskin like, but I thought maybe hefsid merubah, we could rely on those shitos. So we asked Rav Asher Weiss what he thought about that, that since it's been 12 months, maybe hagala gimel panim, what do you think? He said, wait, you're talking about plates, like dinner plates? I said, yeah. He said, you don't need to kasher them at all. It's all klisheni. Anything you put in there, any hot food you put on it is a klisheni. It's a chumra l'charchila that we're knowing to consider hot solid foods ki'ilu they're a kli rishon. But Pashas is all klisheni. He said, I don't see why you need to kasher it at all. You don't even need to be mistarif the shitos. That was, whatever. Okay, quite a chiddush also. Rabbi Neuberger once told me that he got a call when he was first starting in Rabbanus. Someone called him up and said, this is one of my favorite stories. Rabbi Neuberger said that someone called him up and said that they have a set of china, very expensive set of china, and they're that's not kosher, and it hasn't been used in a year. Is there anything they could do about it? So he said he figured, okay, it's hefsid merubah, and it hasn't been used in a year. So you could do agala gimel pan. Ramosha has a tshuva like that. You could do agala 3 times, and that would kasher it. So he told them, yeah, they could kasher it in that way. So he got a call from somebody right after he gave that psak. Like the next day, he got a call from another rabbi saying, how could you give a psak that it's hefsid merubah for that family? Do you know that family has 2 Mercedes parked in their driveway? It's hefsid merubah for them? Are you kidding? You know how much money these people have? So he felt terribly about it, and he went to the YU the next day, and he saw Rav David Lipschitz in the Beis Medrash, and Rav David said, don't worry, it was the right psak. He gave the right psak. You have nothing to worry about. He said, 20 years later, a guy comes over to him. This guy came over to him at a simcha or something. He lost touch with the fellow, came over to him and said, you should know, Rabbi, our whole family is from today because of you. He said, well, what do I do? We barely had any connection. I answered 1 or 2 shilas. He asked me back in the day. He said, when we were becoming Balei Tshuva, we were deciding whether we were going to become from or not, whether we were going to keep a kosher home. He said, I was very into it. My wife wasn't so into it. But she said, if I get to keep my dishes, then I'm in. Otherwise, forget it. So that Shiloh was the determining factor. And our kids are from today and learning in yeshivas today because of your psak. So he said, I think I got that one right. You know, But how do we get to? We're talking about los achilin, right? So you're not allowed to feed in the iser to a katan. So maybe there's another chiluk over here. There's a difference between a cheftza of macholos asuros, meaning even on an iser drabanan, but if the food itself is not kosher, maybe that's different than when you're giving kosher food at a time that you're not supposed to be eating it. Maybe that's different than giving non-kosher food. So the truth is, the postman talk about los achilin, about being machil a katan outside of the sukkah, giving a child to eat outside of the sukkah, giving a child to eat on Yom HaKippurim, and all of these things are kosher food at non-kosher times. There's a fascinating application of this in Yabia Omer. If you look at the source number 7, Rav Avadia Yosef is in the middle of the tshuva of discussing, it's in Yardeya Simen Gimel, right? Yechela Gimel, Simen Gimel, where he's discussing the idea of waiting 6 hours between milchigs and fleishigs, or between fleishigs and milchigs, rather, waiting 6 hours. So in the course of that tshuva, Rav Avadia Yosef brings up our discussion about Kiddush. What in the world has it got to do with our discussion about Kiddush? So he talks about whether children need to wait 6 hours. Now bear in mind that for Svardim, waiting 6 hours is much more important than it is for Ashkenazim. Because Meikra Adin, the Ramah Paskins in Shulchan Aruch, the Meikra Adin, Shah Achas is enough. between flesh and milchigs. It's just Shach writes that anyone who has reach Torah, anyone who has a sense of sensitivity to the Torah, should observe 6 hours. Should wait 6 hours. But that's a minug that we wait 6 hours. Meikra, then we only need to wait 1 hour. For Sfardim, they pass them straight like the Rambam, in that you got to wait 6 hours. So for Sfardim, it's a much more it's a more serious issue to wait 6 hours. So what about for children? So or for someone who's a chol or something like that, who's a chol b'miktsas. So if you look, go down in the paragraph about 10-12 lines before the end. Umashma, he writes, Umashma sha'aflin narva nara lo hiter al bekhushim v'lo bebriyim. Even for children, it's only if they're weak, not if they're healthy. Achei mira sharav mayri she'gil l'mitzvahs. He says that, but when you're dealing with ketanim that are not higiyu l'mitzvos, you could be makel even if they're strong, even if they're not weak kids. That you're allowed to give children to drink from the Kos Kiddush to the Beis HaKnesses. Afal pi sheino b'makom su. What are you not allowed to feed to a child? Nevelos, trefos, things that are mamish an iser. Avol kiddush hayom mitzvah saseyu v'lo nafka mehasam. Kiddush hayom is just a mitzvah sasey. We can't derive that from there. Because of Zeh Beis Yosef, and Beis Yosef says, not only is there a distinction between a mitzvah sasey and mitzvah lo sasey, va'af ledivrei omer shafilu yisur drabana lo sufinu l'katana b'yadayim. Even those who say you don't feed yisurim drabana to katanim, Efshar shekivan sheish matirin afilu legdolim l'shtos mikiddush beis haknesses. Afal pisha gedolim nogim kedivrei osrim mikol makom lo chashuv isur kulehai sheye osr lashkos l'ketanim. Beis Yosef says, since it's a machlokes, and even though it's a machlokes whether the gadol is allowed to drink from the kiddush wine in shul, remember we saw that was a machlokes, so yes, we're machmir, so we don't allow someone over bar mitzvah to drink from the kiddush wine in shul. So even though it's a machlokas, and we're machmir, but the ketanim can be makel like the daya that holds that it's mutter. So what the Beis Yosef is saying is as follows: you're not allowed to give an issur drabanan to a katan, but a katan is allowed to say kimli that I hold like the shita that says that it's mutter as long as it's machlokas. So whenever you have a case of machlokas, the katan could hold like the more makel shita. V'im kein gam ba'achilas gvina achar basar. So you can say the same thing about eating gvina achar basar, about eating milchig after fleshig. Hol v'harbi poskim sovim lahati b'am tana shah afil l'gedolim. Since there are poskim like the Ramah who hold that you only need to wait 1 hour even for gedolim, like the Balei Atosos all hold. Nisha gedolim nagu kedivrei ha'osrim mamtinim sheishos. Granted, the gedolim all hold like the gedolim over here means people over bar mitzvah all hold like the Rambam that you got to wait 6 hours. For Ketanim, they could say that we hold like the Balei Atosfos. That's what he suggests. Now, there is one major difference between the Kiddush case versus this case. One of the swars the Beis Yosef used to be makled by Kiddush was that not just that the Katan, he cut short his quote of the Beis Yosef, not just that the Katan could say, I hold like the Shita that says that it's Mutter, but it's that we're stuck. That if the katan doesn't do it, the gadol is going to be doing an iser. So in order to save the gadol from doing an iser, the katan can say, I hold like the shita that it's mutter. But if you're not going to save a gadol from doing any iser, so then maybe you can't say that a katan is allowed to rely on a shita that we reject from the halacha. So he sort of takes that out of context a little bit, right? That was the context of the Beis Yosef originally, it seems. And by eating milchig after fleshig, that has nothing to do with any gadol doing an isser. We're not risking any isser for a gadol in any way whatsoever. You have a question?
When you say the katan could say kimli, just, you know, I'll take it on the das yachid, or whatever it is. What are the opinions? So that's referring to any katan.
It doesn't mean the katan has to actually know and say kimli. It means we can give it to him.
Yeah, but even shlogi lechem. I mean, and he lechem.
Even l'chaora, even higia l'chinach, yeah, pashtos. Okay. One more thing. Take a look at Rav Moshe in source number 12. Rav Moshe in the Truv and Aruch Chaim Chelek Dalet He says Kiddush Beis HaKnesses, where the bracha is not going to be levatala because you're trying to be motzi the guest, the Kiddush, so you're allowed to drink even if you don't want to drink a revius, because heter ashtia Beis HaKnesses who do makom haKiddush huto lishtos afshel yatzi de Kiddush legamri. But Moshe has this idea that one is allowed to use Kiddush as a heter to eat or drink, even if he's not being yotzei Kiddush makom suda. It's an interesting concept. But meaning, let's say I'm at a shul kiddush, and at the shul kiddush, I don't want to make a mizonos. The cookies there look disgusting. I'm not interested in the cookies and the cake there. But the cholent looks really good, and the kugel looks really good. So I just want to make kiddush so I could have some cholent and kugel, but I'm not going to be yotzei Kiddush makom suda. I'm not going to have any mizonos. Can I say Kiddush, have the cholent kugel, and then go home and I'll say Kiddush again and be yotzei Kiddush makom suda? Are you allowed to do that? So Rav Moshe has this notion that you might be allowed to do that. Now we're going to have to see the exact gedarim of that when we learn Kiddush makom suda, which Bez Hashem will start tomorrow, Kiddush makom suda. But Rav Moshe says, here's the rule. If your Kiddush is a Kiddush b'makom suda for somebody, even if it's not your Kiddush makom suda, you're then allowed to use it as a matir to eat. You can use it as a matir to have something to eat. Even though it's not going to be suda, you're just going to be having a little bit of grape juice, you're just going to be having a little bit of kugel, something like that. It's not suda. It could, because it is a Kiddush makom suda. Why? Once it's called a Kiddush makom suda, it becomes Kiddush. And once it becomes Kiddush, Kiddush is a matter to eat. You're allowed to eat after Kiddush. It's not allowed to eat before Kiddush. It's necessary to eat before Kiddush. Now, you still have to be Yotzei Kiddush Makom Suda for your personal chiv of Kiddush Makom Suda. That you still have to do. But the Isra of eating before Kiddush is not violated when you said something that has a din of Kiddush for somebody. So if you were Motzi someone, the Orchim in Shul, who are going to have their meal here, for them, that Kiddush that you said is a Kiddush Makom Suda, for you it's not. But that means that your Kiddush was meaningful. So if you said a meaningful Kiddush, mainly you're allowed to eat. That's how he wants to tie it. And we're going to have to see whether this is so punted or not, whether the others hold like this, and what the gedarim are of Kiddush Makom Suda. I mean, does that even make sense? That are these two separate issues, eating before Kiddush and Kiddush Makom Suda, are they two separate issues? Can they be divided like that? That I'm not Yotzei Kiddush Makom Suda, but yet I'm allowed to eat? On al smach of this Kiddush, is that something that Rav Moshe is willing to divide them up in that way? We have to see if that's agreed upon. You know, if other poskim agree with that. So last thing to discuss over here is the Rav Natrunoi Gaon. It's quoted in the Balei Tosfos, quoted over here in the Tur. Let's see how the Tur has it. We saw it's in Tosfos Pesachim over here also. Let's see how the Tur has Rav Natrunoi Gaon in source number one. About 7 lines in. Rav Natrunoi Kosef Shemekachim Beis HaKnesses Afal Pi Shein Ochlin Sham Afal Pi Shein Kiddush Al Makom Suda. Meaning Rav Natrunoi Gaon is dealing with a very big problem. Why Bizman Hazeh, where there are no Orchim, do we still say Kiddush and Shul? So we've dealt with this a little bit in a couple of days ago, right? That if the Gemara says the whole reason, according to Shmuel, holds you need Kiddush Makom Suda, we're allowed to say Kiddush and Shul is because the Hotzi Orchim Yidei Chavasan. Great. What about when there are no Orchim? Like nowadays, there's no one that's going to be eating the meal in Shul. So how can we still make Kiddush in Shul? There's no Makom Suda. So we had the different approaches, right? We had the Rabbeinu Yonah, we had all the Ran, all these different approaches. Says Rav Natrunoi Gaon, a different approach. Afilu hachi mekachin ba mipnei sha'atamas yayin shel kiddush shel Shabbos refuah hi. Tasting wine of kiddush of Shabbos is a refuah. It's good for you. Umashetom in kolat zibur. And that which the whole tzibur drinks, it's not really that the whole tzibur has to drink, they just have to hear it. And they already get what they need to get by hearing it, and they don't have to taste it. And the guy who says Kiddush gives it to the tzibur for refuah to put on their eyes. Taking big strides, long strides, when one walks, takes away 1/500th of a person's eyesight. And how does it come back? By saying Kiddush on Friday night. Hilkach kiven dika min atzibur de laslu yayin. So since there are members of the tzibur that don't have wine, tiknu l'kadosh beis hakneses al yayin mishum refua. So we say wine, we say kiddush and shul, even though there's not magum suda, at least for the refua. Says the Tur, v'kol dvar of tamuin. From beginning to end, I don't understand a word that Rav Nachman Yagon is talking about. He says that which they're yotze by listening to kiddush even without tasting. He says I don't even get how they'd be yotze if they drank something from this kiddush. I don't see how that would be anything. Kivin shein makom suda, because it's not makom suda. So what does he mean yotze? Does he mean they're yotze this inyan of what? They're yotze this inyan of refua. That's called yotze, an inyan of refua. And they're not even allowed to taste. They're not even allowed to have it. It's drinking before Kiddush. And this whole idea that they made this takana for the sake of refuah, zelo matzinu shlo tikno salam mishamorchin. He says, where in Shas does it say that? It doesn't say that in my Gemara that they had a takana to do it for refuah. What does it say in the Gemara? What's the real takana for? For the guests. That's what it says in the Gemara. Nothing to do with refuah. And he says, and if there are no guests, you really shouldn't make this kiddush. If I had my way, I would be mevatel this whole din of kiddush beis haknesses. Right? So that's what we saw already from the Torah. The Torah was not excited about kiddush beis haknesses, and he doesn't understand what in the world Rav Nachman Yagon is talking about. So is there any way to defend Rav Nachman Yagon? So take a look in the Beis Yosef. On page 2 toward the top. Rav Nachunoy Kosav, Shemkach Ves Knesses. Divir Rav Nachunoy Tama Aleim Rabbeinu. So the Torah has problems with Rav Nachunoy. Uksha Yisbaru Lo Yu Tumuin Vehelach Biuram. Says the Beis Yosef, Torah is being unduly harsh on Rav Nachunoy. It could have been a lot easier on him, and there's an easy way to explain it. Rav Nachman Yagon is trying to say is as follows. Even though there's a requirement of Kiddush Makom Suda, and therefore anyone who wears Kiddush in Shul is going to have to go home and say Kiddush again. Why? Because there's no Suda in Shul. There's Suda at home. It's still worthwhile to say Kiddush in Shul. Why? Because there are some people that don't have wine. Now, will they be Yotze Kiddush Makom Suda when they get home? Yes. Why? Because they have challah, and they'll say Kiddush on bread. So they'll be Yotze, they're Kiddush Makom Suda. But they're not going to have wine of Kiddush. And it's very important that people have Kiddush wine. Why? Now, what's merape the einayim? Tasting the wine of Kiddush, drinking the wine of Kiddush. So you need to make Kiddush and Shul for the refuah element, and don't worry about Kiddush Makom Suda. You'll do that when you get home, when you're Mekadesh on, if you're lucky enough to have wine at home on wine, and if you're not lucky enough to have wine at home, you'll be Mekadesh on Pas at home. But then he goes on to say, Mash Kasav, Mash Atom in Kol HaTzibur. He says the whole Tzibur tastes it, but they don't really have to, you just need to hear it. Wait a second, where's the refuah in just hearing it? Kolomar v'teda, shemash nagu l'kadish beis ha'knesses, einu ele mishum refuah, v'lo mishum desfirlei, d'yesh kiddush lov makom suda, sharitom in kol tzibur. V'imishum chovas kiddush lo yitzrichum letom kulam, d'betimas chad v'na yisagi, elvadim mishum refuah hi. So the way he understood Rav Nachman Yagon is Rav Nachman Yagon was saying, my raya to you that the whole idea is only one of refuah and not one of kiddush whatsoever, is why in the world do we have a minhag that everyone drinks from it? In shul, why should everyone drink from it? If it was just kiddush, you could just be yotze by listening to it. Elamai, we make everyone drink from it because it's not just kiddush; it is refuah. So for the refuah, everyone's got to drink from it. But then he also changes in the middle. Rav Nachman Yagon starts out by saying, "How do you get the refuah? By drinking from the kiddush wine." Then what does he say later on? How do you get the refuah? By putting it on your eyes. So what happened? Which is it? Is the refuah from drinking, or is the refuah from putting it on your eyes? So he says, really, the refuah comes from putting it on your eyes. But he says at the beginning that the refuah comes from tasting. He says, no, probably once you're taking a sip, you'll put it on your eyes too. Really? Every time you take a sip of wine, you make sure to take a few drops and put it on your eyes? I don't know. Etc. Now, he then quotes a different understanding of Rav Natronai Gaon. Very simple question. Beis Yosef seems pretty happy with Rav Natronai Gaon, that it makes sense that you're going to have to say Kiddush and Shul because the Kiddush is what's merape the Einayim. No, any problems with this? That we're saying Kiddush and Shul, we're not Yotzei Kiddush Bichlal, because it's not Kiddush Makom Suda. But it's merape the Einayim, so it's worth it. So one question is, why is Refu even Mutter on Shabbos? It's Shabbos. You're allowed to do things that are refuah, that are mishum refuah, right? Should be asked. That's one question. Another question: what's merape one's einayim? What? Placing what on the eyes?
Placing the wine.
Wine of what?
Of the Kiddush.
Of Kiddush. If it's not Kiddush, how's it wine of Kiddush? I mean, if you're not Yotzei Kiddush, so how could you call that wine of Kiddush? Unless you say that Kiddush Halayayin is Daraisa, it's just, and Makom Suda is Darabanan. So if you assume like the Bali Atosis, the Kiddush Halayayin is Daraisa, so on a Daraisa level, it is wine of Kiddush. But that would go back, like we said, to that Machlokes, whether if you do a Din Daraisa in the way that the Darabanan don't want you to do, whether you're even Yotzei Midaraisa. But maybe that would be called a Daraisa, would actually be considered like wine of Kiddush. The Bach has a different understanding of Rav Natronai, and maybe with this we'll close. By the way, some say, I saw some of the postmen say that when it comes to the Kiddush wine, they don't put it in their eyes. They dafka don't flutter their eyes. They just put it near their eyes because of refuah, and that's why dafka by Avdallah people put by their eyes, because Avdallah Shabbos is over already. Okay, take a look at the Bach, source number 3, page 4. After he quotes Rav Natronai and he quotes the Beis Yosef's explanation of Rav Natronai, Ulafi ani as daiti near liyashiv divrei agon Rav Natronai beravcha. Vuzad devada ikirish beis haknesses lenagu b'omei ikara el b'shvil aruchin da'achul v'shasu v'ganim beis haknesses. Clearly, the original minhag to make kiddush and shul was for the guests. V'lo mishum refuah. Demand by refuah matzil mevav bebeisay. V'lavel mitzrach sibur b'shul yichidim shein lem yayin lahamtzil lem refuah. He says it can't be that because there were a couple of guys who didn't have wine at home, so we're matriach the whole sibur to have kiddush so that those guys can get their refuah. It's not even for halacha, it's for refuah. It's just that once they were doing it in shul anyway for the guests, so whoever needed it would get it for refuah as well. The kamer of Natronai, afal pida achshav leka orchim mikal makom mekachin beis haknesses alv bishem mekachin al makom suda the ein mevatna minag meachad atamasei ein shul kiddush beis haknesses yinogim al mishum refuah kivim dinog nog. What's he saying? That originally, clearly, they never would have been Masakin Kiddush and Shul if not for the Orchid, if not to be mostly the guests. And it's got to be real Kiddush Magam Suda. There was an additional benefit that those who didn't have wine at home were able to get refuah also. Once the time of guests no longer applies, we're willing to keep the minhag as long as that additional benefit is still in place. If that additional benefit were not still in place, then we wouldn't keep the minhag at all. Very similar to the idea we saw when it came to the idea that Rabbeinu Yonah had, that in addition to the guests, you also have the people that aren't going to make Kiddush at home. Now, we never would have made the takana for the people who aren't going to make Kiddush at home, but once we already have the takana for the guests, we'll keep it for those people who aren't going to make Kiddush at home, at least let them be Yotzei Midoraisa. Maybe Rav Natronai Gaon means along those same lines, that this is enough of an additional benefit not to be mevatel a minhag that we already had, even though the ikar time of the minhag doesn't apply anymore. So that's how to be miyashiv not shnagel. Again, la halacha, Shulchan Aruch says better not to start the minhag. If you have the minhag, it's a justifiable minhag. But better not to start the minhag at all. But Hashem, tomorrow we'll do Kiddush Makom Suda. Read down Kuf Aleph and Aleph if you have a chance, and I'll give you a new Mar Makomus tomorrow.